Works and Sewer Commission meeting for January the 21st to order. The first item we have would be a review of the minutes from our December the 16th meeting.
I would make a motion to approve minutes.
Second.
A motion by Travis, second Janae. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve those minutes. I'll just move right on into our report section. And the first will be Mr. Cinco with the financial reports.
You bet. How are y'all?
Good.
How are you?
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, this will be our report for the month of December. So 6 months of the way through our fiscal year. Starting with billed revenue in the water department. At about $1.38 billion, and year over year, that's about a 7% increase. If you just isolate the billed revenue that's associated with our residential, commercial, and industrial consumption, the billed revenue was up 9% year over year, while consumption itself was up 5%. And then looking at the sewer department, our billed revenue was $1.6 million. It's an 11% increase in total. Just looking at residential, commercial, and industrial, it's up 6%, and the consumption itself was up 3%. It's the end of the calendar year, so we threw in a couple of extra charts here for you, just as a little bit of a snapshot. These two charts, they come from the same data source. They're just presented a little bit differently here. So this is our consumption. This is what we source from Beaver Water District. We've made an attempt to exclude the water that we supply to Bentonville so that we've got a more apples-to-apples comparison across years and months. And looking at the top chart there, this is monthly consumption. You can look at that and you can see basically the seasonality of our consumption. Not surprisingly, June, July, August, September, those are really your bigger months here. And it's color-coded. You've got 2022 in blue, 2023 in red, and then 2024 in black. And just kind of looking at this, what jumps out to me, obviously, is July there, where in 2022 we had some significant consumption. And then, as we've been talking about for a couple of meetings here, we had historically high consumption this year in October. And we see that relatively higher as well. And just looking at the history here, those are really the two big outliers. Otherwise, it seems really neck and neck with our monthly consumption. You can stack that monthly consumption on top of each other and get this cumulative consumption chart down here at the bottom, working our way from January to December. And it shows 2022 and 2024 are really very similar, with a little bit of a dip in 2023. So I think one takeaway just looking at this is that, yeah, there's some fluctuation due to seasonality, and there's some fluctuation year over year, but also I think a takeaway is that, if this is our main revenue source, we're talking about rate-generated revenue based on consumption, it's pretty reliable, right? I mean, we can pretty well count on a pattern like this in any given year. And from a budgeting standpoint, from a capital projects standpoint, from the standpoint of planning for our rate proposals, this is good to know, right?
Thank you.
A little bit of a snapshot there. We'll move on to actuals versus budget. We are halfway through the year, so in the water department, revenues and expenses are both trending over that, with revenues up a little bit more. Revenues are at 58% of budget, expenses at 52%. Our capital outlay compared to our budget is at 28% in the water department. Looking at sewer, revenues are at 51%, while expenses are at 47%. And our capital outlay is ticking upward, now at 16% of our budgeted outlay. In terms of our year-to-date income or loss, we'll skip down to this sheet. As we usually do, you can see for net income for the water department, we were at $230 $1,000. So that's a little lighter, right? Looking at the history of where we've been the first 5 months of the fiscal year. So a decrease there, but also, you know, you look at the prior 2 years and you can kind of see that that's more the norm as we get into the second half of the fiscal year. We've got our fiscal year start in July and August and September, and that's associated with our bigger consumption months, and so it's perhaps more natural to expect that our net income is going to be higher in those months. And so while it's less, I don't think it's inconsistent with what we've seen historically. Puts us at a total of $3.7 million on the year, on our way to a budgeted net income of $4.8 million, and that $3.7 represents a little under 2% of an increase compared to FY 2024. And then on the sewer side, our net income for December was $478,000. We did get another ARPA grant disbursement, and as I mentioned last time, I've put a separate line down here to break that out. The purpose is just to make these month-to-month comparisons a little bit more comparable with each other, a little bit more apples to apples. But in total, we're at $4.7 million annual budget, or the budgeted net income for reference, just under $8 million. And the FY25 cumulative net income compared to FY24, not including that ARPA grant, is about 5% of an increase year over year.
Did that full 981 come in? That's a cumulative for 25, or is that?
This 981 right here, we had some, I forget the dollar amount, that showed up on our November report, and we pulled in some more in December as well. It's just based on the timing of the outlays that we're spending on that solids handling project and the timing of when we submit the disbursement request and when the ANRC gets it back to us.
Does that flow into the income though? Because it had a $1,087,000 on that next page. $1,087,000 shows the difference between revenue and expense. And we show $477,000. So that's, I'm trying to.
You said on the next page?
In our, so 229 was water, sewer was revenues was two, well, for the period, 2.2, expenses was 1.1, and then it showed the basic surplus a little over $1,087,000. And we showed $477,000. I just didn't know if that's.
We do show it as as a revenue. We show it as miscellaneous income. And that, so it's contributing, yes.
So it would be in that 981, the difference between 477. I'll ask you later.
If I didn't break it out, it would have been included in this number for December, and it would have been included in the number for November. It would have been split between those 2 months worth of
that. And then I think that was, in looking at that, a million, the difference between revenue and expense was a little over a million, and then probably if you break it, that 981, that'll be the difference. Okay, thank you. A quick question on those capital outlays. You know, we showed those percentages. Those are capital outlays as a percentage of what we budget.
That's right.
So with those numbers being, we're 50% in, the numbers being lower, I'm assuming that we anticipate the capital outlays, but they must be back end loaded to have those numbers so low through 50%. Is that accurate? Am I looking at that right?
There are some projects we haven't got to, or we're not going to get to. This year there are delays in some other projects, but
okay. Because if we're 50% through the year and we're showing that capital to date would be 16% capital outlays for sewer, my thinking is it just back end loaded that we anticipate, or have there been changes? Does that make sense?
I could probably answer.
Right. I just try to make sure that we budgeted, we thought we had capital outlays, but those numbers. We want to make sure that we spend that money, but at 16%, that seems low to me.
It is low. Okay. There's been some delays on. We're hoping to be in the way with a couple other sewer projects by now.
Okay.
We got started late with solids handling. We will spend that money. We're not going to probably spend all the money this year.
So
probably fall short of this budget.
That answers the question. It just seems like those numbers, given where we're at in our cycle at 50%, those numbers at 16 and 20, they just seem low. So, okay. Thank you. We're still going to spend money. It's just a little bit further down our road.
That's right.
If we don't spend all of it, it'll go into our next calendar year. Okay. Thank you.
access and impact fees, we collected $178,580 in December. It's a little bit of a smaller number compared to what we've seen in the past few months, but our total for the year is just under little under $1.5 million, and we're about 48% of what we brought in FY24 and 69% of our FY25 budget. You can see from the chart there that this can fluctuate, and so we try to be a little bit on the conservative end as far as our budget goes, so that's why you see a little bit of a higher number there in terms of what we've collected relative to our budget, but we're close to being on track to collecting what we did last year. Finally, other financial reporting items, total unrestricted and restricted funds, $54.2 million. That's compared to $50.3 million December of 2023. And our lost water 12-month rolling average actually decreased a little bit. We're down to 6% on that. That's a good number.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That concludes the report.
Commissioners, any financial questions?
Quick question, Jared. The on the sewer balance sheets, the due from water and due to water, 24 and 26 million, is that eventually going to go away? Or is that going to be something that's always...
You see the big numbers, that should be last year's numbers, the ones from this year.
Quite a bit smaller. Variance, very good.
We made an effort at fiscal year end to clean that up a little bit, and it's one of those things that just takes sort of ongoing maintenance. I don't go through the effort every month to do that maintenance. It's more of a year end sort of thing.
But right.
The main thing that we want to keep tabs on too is just the how those net, right? So the water department has an asset and a liability. And similar for sewer, it's got an intra-departmental asset and liability, and how those things net tells you whether, and the amount of whether it's a net asset or a net liability, one department related to the other department. So squish those two numbers together for the current fiscal year, and it's not anything like, you know, the $2 million number that you see in any one of those accounts. Net them together and that'll be the net asset or net liability either due from or owed to the other department.
But would they always net out there? I mean, the two from's usually net.
They get close.
Okay. Because listen, you're thinking, you're basically swapping, I mean, within, you would think that you'd have a due to from that they would, if you squished them together, they would net.
They should.
Any other questions, comments? Only thing I was going to ask, we had presented at our last meeting was the preliminary, if you will, budget, or the audit. So is there, and so we were presented preliminary, we approved and accepted that. Mm-hmm. So at that point they go back, then they will actually then present the final audit?
I don't think they're going to come back for another presentation. That was...
Well, we had stamped everything was preliminary, and so at some point they will then issue a non-preliminary. Everything was stamped on what we received as preliminary. They will then come back and they'll issue a final audit, take all the preliminary information off of it.
It's been uploaded to our website.
Okay.
You can find that uploaded. Okay. There along with the others from the prior years.
I just knew that what we had, they go through that process. It was preliminary. We accepted it. Obviously, if there were no changes, we didn't note any changes. There were no changes from the preliminary data, so now it's a final audit. We're done for this. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. We'll move to the next item, which will be engineering reports.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'd like to thank Dave for putting this together at CityWorks. I can show you a little pie chart here, what our distribution of plan review looks like. As you can see, most of the submittals are commercial plan reviews, which and signed permits, which are fairly small efforts on our part to review those plans. We're basically looking at backflow, oil water separators, stuff like that, and sign permits, just making sure that everything's staying out of our utility easements and not conflicting with utilities. The rest of them, we still have some legacy large-scale projects, along with the site development plans and public improvement plans, which you know, as we go through the new UDC process, we're seeing ways that this can be improved. And so what we're working with planning on now is combining that site and development plan and public improvement plan, because most of these submittals we're finding out have both. So that's just causing the engineer to make two separate submittals on the same project. And so I think everybody's agreed that at this point that those should be combined. And so, and that'll be an internal process, whether it has public improvements or not. And so it's a moving target, but we're working well with planning to work through that. I think the biggest thing is just figuring out what that workflow needs to look like with us and planning and risk reduction, and making sure everybody's on the same page, and then programming the software to do what we need to do. So. For the project status, I know we've got field operations is working with Riggs Cat to look at getting backup generators at Lakewood and Biltmore lift station locations. We are working with HAF engineering to get us a proposal to begin work on that sewer line near Veterans Park and on the east side of town. That was one of the bottlenecks that was identified in our last sewer master plan. We did get confirmation from RDOT that we can begin relocation design work on the 112 corridor there at north and south of Pleasant Grove Road and Highway 112, where that's going to be widened to four lanes out there with a roundabout there at Pleasant Grove Road. I know they've made some alignment adjustments based on some of their right-of-way acquisitions out there. We've got some projects that, you know, we've been working a couple of years on design with consultants. These street projects, they're being put on hold. I can probably add Oak Street pedestrian improvements and some of the North 2nd Street streetscape to that list. A lot of that stuff will likely be rolled over to the next bond issue whenever that comes along, so we'll have to wait on that. I do want to point out on the North 2nd Street streetscape project, that was intended to go from Casey's down to Walnut and then part of Chestnut Street. They will be doing a portion of that project along Chestnut, along with that Ritter and Spool apartment complex over there. So we will have some water line to go in and replace on that fairly soon. Within the next few months, we'll have some plans and get that constructed. And then we have our 2023 miscellaneous water line replacements is now substantially complete, and we've still got a lot of other projects under construction. Any questions on any of those projects? And I won't go through all these, any of these plan review projects unless there's anything that you guys have a specific question about. Other topics on the staff, we will be backfilling our construction inspection position. Tristan James is going to be coming over from field operations for the construction inspection technician. And then Sarah will be starting on February 4th as a GIS technician. earlier this month, we attended a meeting down at Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning with Arkansas Department of Health and ADEQ and some state lawmakers and a lot of engineering consultants and other sewer utility providers to kind of discuss on a high level some of the sewer capacity issues that, you know, the various cities in Northwest Arkansas are having. And I know we've got certain parts of town where we have capacity issues, and we're not alone. I mean, I know some of the, a lot of other towns are facing the same issues that we are. And part of that, and what I'm hoping is going to come out of these discussions, is more direct guidance from the health department on what they consider at capacity and how that's determined as far as flow monitoring and monitoring rain events and what, you know, what frequency of rain events should we be looking for when we're looking for surcharging or overflows. And so I know they're trying to set up a meeting in Little Rock, a follow-up meeting to this discussion in February. So I'm hoping to go down there and attend that and get some more guidance from state agencies.
Do you think they're too aggressive on how they're determining what's at capacity, or are they about spot on? Or
well, it's not clear. I mean, they reference the 10 state standards, which states that the flow should be kept within the pipe. Now the issue is in wet weather events. We have surcharge, and surcharge is defined as the level of sewer is over the top of the pipe and creates a kind of a pressure situation in the pipe. Now that might happen one day out of the year, 2 days out of the year. So 99% of the time, you know, we might be flowing at a half pipe, and then we get a 2 year storm, 5 year storm, 10 year event, and we surcharge into the manhole. Depending on the location, that's not really hurting anything. You know, we're not at risk of an overflow. We're not at risk of backing up into somebody's home, which are the two things that, you know, that we're really worried about. And so the guidance I think we're seeking is, you know, what storm event should we be designing for? Because when we take these flow readings in these manholes, we're also looking at our rain gauge information and saying, okay, depending on how much rain we get, how does our sewer system react to that? And so that's some of the guidance that we're looking for from the health department.
Very good.
So areas where we conceivably have capacity issues, are permits being held up in?
We are. We're not considering any multifamily developments in those areas. And currently, that area is generally south of Price Lane and east of Dixieland Road. Currently,
would it be safe to assume that we're in a better condition than our surrounding neighbors as far as
depending on which neighbor you're talking about? I know a number of cities have issues, and usually, you know, usually it's isolated to a certain part of town like we are. But I know there's some out there that have issues with plant capacity, which in that case, yeah, we're in much better shape because, you know, we're planning for that. You know, we're operating well below our design capacity currently. We know that we're not forever. We know we've got about 5 or 6 more years until we have to upgrade, and we're already making plans for that. And so I'd say, you know, we've got some challenges, but when we look around at our neighbors, we're doing pretty good. And then we did have some warranty repair work done on the 11th Street elevated tank. We had some minor touch-up work done, and I believe that tank got refilled yesterday, back in service this week.
Were any of the the tanks damaged during the tornado?
No.
It's remarkable.
It is.
Sure seen it.
You would think it'd be a it'd be a big target, but I mean, these things are built to withstand. Yeah, I think a lot higher winds than what we have.
Three massive tanks.
And we've really noticed that. We were talking about that this morning. How well you can see those now. They used to be obscured by the trees. Mm-hmm. Trees are gone. Mm-hmm. Yep. And out.
Yeah, that one needs to be painted on.
Then we received annual qualifications last week for professional services. We usually get about 25 to 30 responses. We got about 40 this time. We did expand that to include appraisals, land acquisitions, and accounting was in there too. So good responses from a professional firm. I did want to make you aware of some plans that Beaver Water District has been sharing with us for their expansion. So this is their water sales growth with the water they sell to the four cities. If you recall in Jared's financial presentation, we were about flat from 2022 to 2024. In that same period, year over year, Beaver Water District saw water sales 72% between 2022 and 2023, 8.4% between 23 and 24. We're remaining relatively flat. They've seen a pretty drastic increase in water sales. And so that has caused them to accelerate some expansion plans.
Do they outline where it goes, where it's going?
They've got a pretty good idea of where it's going. And the other three obviously, they did have a graph of water sales, per city. And, we all know Bentonville's growth is phenomenal right now, and they've also got some challenges in their water system. Their data coincided pretty nicely with what Jared showed earlier. Ours remained pretty flat over that period. But everybody else was going up. But I think that's a testament to the work that Johnny's team's done with the acoustic leak detectors and fixing all those leaks and stuff. It's really allowed us to stand out, among the four cities in controlling our leaks. And so that's something to be proud of, really.
Yes, we separated ourselves a few years ago for that, but you'll start to see now the growth more indicative of what you really are seeing out there. Everyone knows Rodney is one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing, of the big four. But we, with the leaks that we've been reducing, you can only get so far, and now we'll just start to see fairly parallel with the others, I would imagine. But that's why you saw that dip 2021, 2022. There's other things in there as well.
This is Johnny's fault.
Moving forward, we should be on the up here. But it's because of this time.
So just kind of looking forward at some of their plans. They have over 200 that are either under contract or that will be purchased for a future expansion to the south and west of the current facility. Their intake pumps will need to be increased in capacity. They'll be adding five 1,250 horsepower pumps at the north intake, and then replacing three smaller pumps with 1,000 horsepower pumps at the south intake. So a little over about $3.7 million. That'll start this year. And that'll go along with a new 72-inch raw water pipeline feeding the plant from Beaver Lake. at a cost of $27 million that'll also start the second quarter of this year. Expanded Clearwell at $45 million that'll start the second quarter of this year. And then kind of longer term, the 80 million gallon per day plant expansion over 45 acres at a cost of $295 million. And they hope to be under contract the late part of 2025 to be completed in 2028 to meet this demand. So of course, you know, we've got a lot of projects here. You know, we see all the investment that needs to be made in the wastewater plant, and on the water side, they're seeing the same thing. So,
all right, as far as their rates to us, obviously they're spending a lot of money to bring it in. And how often do those rates change? Are they an annual adjustment? Because you're talking about spending $295 million, and obviously they've got to make more money on the water to continue to pay that. I just wonder how often those rates.
It changes annually. I mean, we'll get a rate increase every year, and they've given us some guidance about what they project those rate increases to be over the next 4 or 5 years. But I'm sure they also reserve the right to change that.
We would like to see something more concrete for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to match that up unless we've got rate increases, and I mean, it's the margin. You're kind of managing the margin. They're the cost of the water, and also what we've got as far as our rates. So I was wondering how that factors in. They change annually, but yet our rates, you know, how often can we change those rates? I know some of our area, some of the other cities in the area have made some pretty substantial increases. So just wonder how that affects.
We're forcing it. The timing is right, so that our rate study, you'll start seeing that pretty quickly.
Okay.
And we've got good enough numbers that we've got a little conservative bump on that too, I think. But we've been able to get that from Adam Motherwell out there. Here's what we think is going to happen.
Okay.
So we may
factor that all in.
We factored that all in, and it's into the rates.
Okay.
The proposed rates.
Well, they know what they're going to spend. I mean, so it's really a matter if you know you've got $295 million that you expect, and it's you can pretty well figure out what you're going to have to do.
So. What's interesting, I think Fayetteville is going out earlier than they need to because they need an adjustment. Bentonville is about to, they're in the middle of one, and they'll be coming out with one with pretty significant, we think, we've heard. But none of this is dialed in until we see it. Ours is going to be moderate, I'll say that. We aren't completely done with it, but I think it'd be real pleased.
Springdale just adjusted theirs. Did they just roll out Springdale?
They just adjusted. They had an adjustment that was effective too.
Okay, I saw one thing where had a couple of different scenarios. previous size increases. So. Okay. Kathy was dead. Pretty small.
Any questions for me?
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, let's go with the next item on our pollution control.
Good afternoon, guys.
Choked her all up a little.
She was so impressed.
I wish that is me.
Hey, that was wrong. I'm wrong and infected, so. I kind of moved this way.
Sorry. You're not going to get infected.
Okay. So,
sorry.
That's okay. Our DMR is based on the calendar year, so we've completed the 2024 year, and we've had no violations on our DMR. I don't dwell on this a lot. Every aspect of our permit is not on this list. There's a lot of aspects. In fact, the one we violate the most is chlorine, because it's an instantaneous violation. And so if there's any mistake at all, with the chlorine. It's an immediate, like, you don't get a chance to fix it. And so it could be just a training issue. It could be an equipment issue. It could be a lot of things. But we didn't have any failures at all, and no violations at all on any of the, I don't call them extraneous, but the minutia type things. My guys really did a good job of maintaining our equipment and our training this year.
Pause a second. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll move on.
That's a good thing. Yes, so, it is. I was very proud of my team.
We
want to
get you one. Yeah.
Let them know. That's good. I will. Our fog looks like I'm out of a little bit out of order this time, but Amber's constantly working with the review guys uptown with risk reduction, with that kind of stuff, and ironing out our city works workflow. She's talking about a little bit of that in here. Just some of the minor things that she catches out there. She's really detailed and does a good job.
I like her. I just want to say, I like her report.
Yes.
I like the detail of it. It's good. It's
yeah. Good. I try not to bog the meeting down with some of the.
No, it's just good reading.
But if you do read it, yeah, it's.
She's definitely doing the one. The job is.
Yes. And just, and Amber is also, she's a prior lab tech, so she works as a cross-trained, so if we're shorthanded in our lab, she can move over there as well. So she's a very, very valuable member of our team. I'm very happy to have her. Paul is works the same way. He can do Amber's job. Amber can do his job. Both of them can work in a lab. So we do a good job out there doing that. Paul does a good job of tracking our finances above and beyond even what we put here. He makes a report that looks back over the year too that Brent and I look at. It's more to make sure that our fees and surcharges are doing what we need them to do. His stuff is a little bit more detailed necessarily. So really wasn't a lot significant about December. We're continuing to work on solids handling. The construction site is much larger than any of us out there anticipated. But I feel like they've kind of grown and now they're starting to backfill and come back and we've kind of gotten use of our site again. But we really were fairly constricted. We were concerned for a little bit about if our dryer broke down, would we be able to get our equipment in there to actually repair it because of some of the excavation. It's not off-road equipment, you know, it's made to be on flat ground. So it was a little bit nip and tuck there. And especially in the wintertime, we really do struggle with that solids handling process. But it's going better than it has in about the last 3 or 4 years. I promoted Chris Lawson out there as our manager for solids handling in preparation for the solids handling project. I wanted somebody in charge of that during this project to kind of take ownership of that. As I looked at Springdale, they struggled a little bit at first because they didn't have anybody taking ownership of that project, so I learned from that, put him in charge of that. And I think he's improved our existing process in that because that's just him taking advantage of that opportunity. So this year we've really done well in managing our uptime, downtime, and the available hours and training. We really had quite a bit of rain in December, but not as much as typical. Didn't really affect us on the I&I. So overall, a pretty good month for December. That was all I really planned to talk about today, but when I got in today, I found an email I wanted to take the commission's temperature on and see what your appetite is to review it. But EPA responded to some comments that Brent and I had submitted on behalf of the utility a while back on the additional listing of the 303D waterways. Timing aside, their responses may be important to us later whenever our permit comes out. I hesitate to make a lot of comments on it because I haven't done a very thorough review, but my question to you guys is more along the lines of, would you like to see anything on it at all? Would you like me to do a kind of an interpretation on it? I'm a little bit hesitant to do that because I don't want to say anything on the record that may cause problems later. Or would you like to see the comments as a whole put up and maybe, because there's probably 100 pages of technical writing that I hate to go through line by line.
We would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like me to maybe pull out some key points and just verbatim put those up there? Would you like me to just put it up there for you guys for your own perusal and not cover it at all? Would you like me to just ignore it and leave you
in the dark?
And we don't know anything about it.
In the dark, you don't know anything about it. What do you want to add?
Maybe how it would affect at a very high level.
Okay.
We could put something together.
Well, I defer back to you all. I mean, you.
Right.
Yeah, I think we should be informed.
That's where I'm at. I always like to inform you, but I also don't want to.
You can get
no.
Some of these very quickly.
Yes.
But if you get it at a very high level, you know what it means.
What's the part? Yeah. If you could have access to any key points, it might be relevant.
Okay. So, on the. The city, the thing that collects all the data, I have the option to just attach a file, and then I have the option to include. There's like two ways I can upload stuff. I can put a file out there just for you guys' review. I think I may have to. But, yeah, or we can just email it or something. But we'll put up a summary of some kind where I just directly quote what they put in there that we can cover maybe some key points. But.
Is that something I defer to you all?
Yes, right.
I would just say yeah. You all decide how you want to handle it and then just remember.
We'll do it.
I'd definitely be interested in seeing the summary though.
Travis wants all 100 pages.
Yeah.
We'll send them all out.
Yeah.
We'll send nighttime reading.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess some of us are a little bit more dedicated than others.
I think you just pace the same. I didn't mean to lose control. That was.
Yes.
Good reports, too.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Okay. Have a great day.
Okay, with that, we'll move to new business. The first item is Resolution 25-01, renewing a contract for printing services here.
Yes, sir. So this is with Dataforms, Inc. We signed a contract with them in February of 2023. So last year, about this time, we had our first renewal, and we continue to get good service from the vendor, and we'd like to have a second renewal. So this is for a one-year term. This would be from February 22nd, 2025 to February 21st, 2026.
Okay.
Seeing that you're getting good service, I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Motion, second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve Resolution 25-01 for printing services. The next item would be item 25-02, purchasing authority for the superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bidding threshold statute is periodically adjusted for inflation, and the adjustment from 2021 is 22.63%, which the Department of Finance Administration says is $42,921. So this resolution would bring current purchasing authority up to the bidding threshold resolution. So that's what this would do. It also allow them to settle lawsuits against us or lawsuits that we would have, the utility would have, for Rogers Water Utilities would have, up to that amount also.
Okay, motion to approve. Janae's motion, second.
Second.
Travis, any discussion? All of the motions say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve Resolution 25-02, increasing the authority from $35,000 to $42,900.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
And with that, no other business. I know we've got a few more meetings.
Oh, Johnny, I'm sorry.
Are you gonna lie? Are you okay?
I am going to talk about some things that Jerry, you, I don't know, be just you.
I saw you pull that little book out.
Yeah. That we had over Christmas, we had a sewer overflow that, and this is probably the, it is the largest sewer overflow that I've dealt with here at Rogers Water. I know there was one a little larger before I started work here at Rogers Water, the worst part about this one was that it happened over Christmas. Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, she's...
So this happened over Christmas. The worst part about it was the family was not home. Over this, when it happened, we had responded to calls of the sewer overflows of the homes upstream from it. And we checked on those homes. We could not check on this home because nobody was there. They come in the day after Christmas and they come home to quite a mess. Let's see if I can, that's just the mitigation, sorry. I thought that was the pictures.
Well, we probably get the...
Yeah, so I won't show you the mess. It's like I said, it's probably, the worst part about it is small home. It has two bathrooms on each end. The home had been remodeled. It wasn't remodeled to the best, you know, like they put the tile down and put the all of the cabinets and stuff above the tiles, which now we had to replace the cabinets. We had to do all of that, where before we just had to replace the tiles and we had a few things that just caused us this problem, and one of them was that this home was at the very dead end of, we had a hill, and this we've had homes above them, and so all the sewer, when this is how bad the backup was, the homes up on top of the hill was backing up with the sewer into their bathtubs and everything. So it had to have a relief point. It found the relief point in their house because they're the lowest house on that block.
The blockage.
And this is going to sound bad. The line is probably one of the worst lines that we've seen. We cannot even get a camera or a saw down through there to saw the roots. The line is so bad. And after talking to the young man out there, what we really feel happened was that the line where it broke, there was a tree uprooted out there, and we think that from the tornado, and he had mentioned that there was some clay pipe out there, and we relieved it, but we think that we shot through the roots and everything from that tree and broke the stoppage loose. We think it ripped up some of the pipe. Again, we can't get a camera through it and see. So what we're doing now is we're pulling, pipe bursting companies up here, and they're finishing up a couple of pipe bursting jobs that they had to get finished up here for us in bad shape. And we're moving them over there, and they're going to pipe burst that line and get them back, sewer back, and again, because like I said, it's in really bad shape. And then the worst part about it is the blockage was just about 10, 15 feet downstream from their, where the sewer goes into their house, you know, where their inlet comes into the line. So we had a couple of factors there that really hindered us having relief somewhere else. Even the homes upstream had some pop-offs on them, which helped blow off some up there, but it didn't help enough. And so needless to say, we're coming to you to ask to reimburse the homeowner for the initial part of the home. It's going to cost us about $51,193.41 for them to restore their house back to livable. $5,922.
John, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you, Paige.
She's got a school Paige board meeting.
Johnny, but I'm not because of that.
I know. She's got that care of sewer and school. Thank you.
So it'll be $5,922 of personal property that got destroyed during this backup. And then for our service master, for them going in, tearing all the sheetrock out and all of those things that they had to destroy inside the house to get it cleaned is $8,662.30. So it's a total of $65,777.71. And then Mark Deaton, we owe him the NWA claims $817.60. So it'd be a total of $66,595.31. But mainly we just need the approval to pay them the $51,193.41 for the home. Then we also need your approval is that Mark Deaton, which is our insurance adjuster, has reached out to me. And is a young couple with a small child that lives in this home. They've been staying with his parents. They live over on West Drive, or over behind Sherman Williams over there. His mom has also got somebody living in the barn, a family living in their barn in behind them that's living there since the tornado because their house is being rebuilt. So the couple they're a little stressed out, and they're wanting to, now their mom and dad, Mark Deaton just messaged me and said, now the mom and dad's got COVID and the kids are trying to stay away from them. But Mark had called me over the weekend and they had requested if we could put them up in a hotel or get them a place to live. Mark's found a place for about $2,800 a month. And me and Brent have talked, and we talked with Mark, which is our insurance adjuster, and he says that he thinks it would take 3 months for them to find people to get in to do the remodel on their home. So he thinks we should put a limit of 3 months on it for them to have a place for us to pay for a place for them to live. And that would be up to you guys also, because that's not normally something we would do. We have never done that before.
How big is the family?
It's three. It's a young couple and a small baby, I think. I'd say maybe a year old.
I know rent's expensive, but $2,800 is.
Well, this is like an executive home because they wouldn't take any of their sheets or anything with them. So everything's there for them. It's furnished. And Mark says that's usually what the insurance will put them up for, and that's what he was looking for. It's like an Airbnb, but you can't get Airbnbs are full from the tornado. Mm-hmm. And he found an apartment, an executive apartment that does it for Walmart that they're staying in.
Mark Deaton is whose insurance?
He's our insurance. Yes, sir.
So I guess maybe a couple different, got two different pieces here.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to just do one motion for all of it? Do we need to do a motion for part of it? How should we proceed? Let me give you my thoughts too. First of all, we need to make it right. I mean, I would not want to be in their position, so. And there's no dollar you probably put on the nuisance of what they've had to go through. So for what they're asking for is hard cost. And so the $65,771, that's number one. And then as far as their current personal situation, I would be open to not just the 3 months. I would be open and maybe make it up to, because construction will not, if you think it done 3 months, you may or may not. So I don't want y'all to come back and say, well, we need to extend this a month. So I would even be willing to, I know we're setting precedents, but even up to a 6 month period, give you all the flexibility to do that. That's the difference between $8,400 and $16,800 at $2,800 a month.
if they think they can get it done in three, maybe it gets done and you give them three, but then you all have the flexibility to manage it up to 6 months. That way you're not bringing it back to us. I just want to try to make it right for this family and not jump through a bunch of hoops. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So, Robert, do we need to make a motion for something? How would you like for us to proceed, sir?
Well, I think I've been trying to keep up with the math, but I think one motion for all the figures that are being authorized is fine. And the presentation notes what it's being spent for. I would note that whatever motion is made, I would suggest that it be made contingent on this family, the owners of this property, signing a release. That's our typical procedure. We have a standard release we ask them to sign. We want them to sign that in exchange for this money. And also, the motion should also note that this payment is to be made without waiver toward immunity. That we, Rogers Water Utilities, has toward immunity as part of the city of Rogers. And we're not required to pay for negligence claims or any kind of claim that's like this, but cities can't settle these sort of claims. So it's fine to settle, but I would ask the water commission makes the motion to include that this is made without a waiver for immunity.
Without?
Without a waiver for immunity. And contingent on the property owners signing our
release of liability.
Release of liability, yes.
Okay, so.
And I'll leave the math to Johnny.
We'll need to to vote on this, but let me just make sure, Johnny. So I had $66,595.31. That is for Mark Deaton, 817.60, and then the $65,777.71.
Yes.
And then, so that's that part. But then also, if we were in the second part of that, would be approve up to 6 months. At $2,800, which is $16,800. So the high water I've got is $83,395.31. So I'm gonna check my math, let me make sure. So 66,595.31, and then I've got $83,395. So I'm gonna say $83,400, not to exceed that amount, and that would be with a release of liability, and with also without waiver of tort immunity, would be my recommendation to. And again, I realize we're setting precedent; we're not obligated, but this is the right thing to do, based on what I've heard. So I would make that motion.
I'll second.
Mr. Chair,
can I make the motion?
No, sir. You should entertain the motion.
I will entertain. Well, I'll need to vote, though, because we're now down under quorum.
You're right, Mr. Chairman. You will need to vote to create the quorum.
But I can't make the motion. It'd
still be good if somebody else made the motion.
Thank you. So you've heard that the amount is the $83,400.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Did you have something else?
The actual settlement of the claim is
$51,193.41 for us to give to the home.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if Johnny could, maybe he could just read back.
Run the numbers again.
$51,400, that would be good.
$51,000, did you have that? That's the claim. Let's make sure the numbers.
Okay, so on your screen right there. $51,193.41 is what we...
86-20-30 is mitigation.
Yes, 86-62-30.
Okay.
And then personal property, 59-22. And mitigation would be the service master.
Okay, that's... And they're not inexpensive. Okay, that's service master.
Uh-huh.
And personal property is the 5,922. And yes, that is a total of...
That's, I come up with 65,777.71.
Okay. That, and I've got that number.
And then Mark Deaton's bill from.
And that is bill for.
$817.60.
Okay. Again, just if y'all will bear with us, let's just make sure we've got.
I
those numbers look, Robert, are you satisfied with those numbers and that we can reflect those in the minutes? That the total I came back with is still the 83, right at the 83,395.31.
Yes, and the motion can also just say as presented and I'll include all the adjustments.
Do you mind doing it? Is that okay with you?
Yes, if she is ready to roll, I'll jump in and try to help if we need to.
I might need a translator. I'll make a motion to approve the damage claim in the amount of $65,771. Is that what
$65,777.71.
Yes.
Yeah.
With payment to Mr. Deaton in the amount of $817.60. And rent up to $16,800 for the couple without waiver of tort immunity and with the release of RWU.
Liability
to RWU.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And yeah, it's unfortunate. The main thing is we've got to get the thing, we got to get it corrected, we've got to get it fixed. So that's another expense. Yeah. It sounds like y'all are all over that. But the right thing to do is to take care of this.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen a whole lot more often. I mean, it's. I don't know. It's a lot of.
Because you know what rolls downhill.
And I wanted to, if you have time. Yeah. We didn't just want to take this, we want to show you what we're doing now to remedy that situation moving forward.
Where
is it?
To the others.
905 South 14. Okay. Right off Boat. Go past 13th. The intersection there, 13th. Next street, you turn right there. There's a second house. We're lucky that it wasn't the older lady that lived at the bottom, because it would have been worse for her, but we're lucky the line goes down and ties in and runs beside her house, and she ties in right there at the side of the house. Or it would have probably flooded her. It would have flooded her house worse if her tie-in wasn't where it was.
Johnny, and this is kind of an aside, but we're basically making the money available. But as far as getting a reputable contractor, this family getting, I know we're getting a release from liability, but making sure that, I mean, they get one shot at this to get it done and get it done right. So does this Mark Deaton oversee that? Does he hold the money back? Do we make sure that the $51,000 goes?
No.
Give them the money?
Yeah, and it's up to them. They when they sign the release, it's all up to them. Mark has talked to them. And now Mark does, in his contract or in his bill there or in his proposal to him, he does do the 10, 10, and 10, which is, and Brent probably had to help me explain this because I never really fully understand it, but it's where we hold that money's figured into there for them to have, if like a roofer shows up and falls off the house and hurts himself, then
they have insurance for
that. They have insurance for that, but this 10, 10, and 10 protects them because they only are allowed to hire contractors that fall under that 10, 10,
so
and 10.
What is their insurance done? I mean, I know
we're
trying to make it right because it's the right thing to do. We created the problem, but they have insurance that
a lot of people do not have
the black water insurance.
Oh, okay, that was
so. If it would be in clean water, it's totally different story. Insurance pays for it.
Dirty water didn't count.
Yeah, dirty water they don't pay for.
One thing I do want to make sure though, and I kind of, I'm with you, and again, we give them the $51,000. But the other part that I did want to put a little bit of collar on that, and that was, even though they asked for 3 months, my thinking was give you all then the discretion to go up to 6 months, just get you that 16.8. I'm not saying we're not giving them 16.8. Them, if Mark needs said 3 months, if they get to that 3 month period and it's not there and you need, you all have that flexibility to manage it. And then obviously, if it gets to something more beyond that, bring it back. I mean, you guys know what we need, what we're wanting to do. So
yeah, we don't want
that. We're not giving, if we give a check 51,
they got to get it done. But we're not going to give them a check for 16 and say, hey, you got it, because that money can go away and you're back to it. So
yeah.
We're not going to manage it for them, but 3 months is a good deal. Yeah. That will take care of that. But after that, discretion.
And so what we did is we come back and we started looking at some things, and some of this could fall back because when we first started doing our pipe bursting program, I told the guys I wanted to focus on I&I. So we started really because we wanted to cut down on the I&I of the plant, which I think we've done a fairly good job of doing. And we did not get into some of these lines that we knew we had root problems and things in. And so Brandon Carnahan, which was supposed to be in here, we all sit down, which is our sewer supervisor, and we talked, and he went to Brandon, our GIS coordinator, under Brian, and what me and him and Brent, me, Brandon Carnahan, and Brandon come up with was we wanted to know every home that was in within a foot of the six, their home set within a foot of the 6-inch clay lines, because it's our 6-inch clay lines that we have the problems with. And
vertical foot,
yeah, and then 3 foot and then 5 foot. So Brandon Carnahan then went to Brandon Ives in GIS department, and they come back with this map. So so with all the addresses within 1 vertical foot of a sewer line, or the sewer, the house that's within the sewer, that's too close to the sewer. what we did realize when we started looking at this map, if we turned on the sewer lines in that area, was that these set at the ends of sewer lines. So our thought was that we would go in there and put some pop-off cleanouts in, and maybe until we can get in there and get these lines replaced and pipe burst and everything. And so, and that would cut down on those overflows if we had one in those areas. And then we looked at 3 foot, and the map gets a little bit more, but you see we're all isolated in this area right in here. You know, we have some outliers out there that has some clay in it.
So help me just kind of get through this. So is it the clay obviously is the issue, the pipe.
Yes.
Okay. The proximity to the home, help me understand that. Is,
okay,
is,
so we're
you have to go in there and redo it. It's,
yes.
It's because it's so close to the house you're talking
yeah.
about.
Okay.
If it backed up, I can see.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of put it in layman's terms.
And it came back in the service line, there's only a foot difference there. So it'd be the first one that would be at risk.
To be in flooded.
Higher level of yeah. potential risk. Okay.
Yeah, what we're trying to do with this is mitigate our risk.
Yeah.
As soon as possible, allocate resources to where we need to.
It's not that we have any issues right now. It's just this is that there's a greater risk of potential because of that.
We have some issues, but not along the extremes that this one happened. You know, we get out there, we'll have an overflow in a manhole or a little overflow in a manhole or. They'll call us and their pop-offs out because they know that the sewer line stopped.
And before, sorry, all that information was in somebody's head. Now it's on here and we can actually look
start
at
working a plan to. So is the plan then would be replace those clay pipes? We're doing something different. Piping, is that what?
Okay. Yes.
And that's
and
over
when
time.
You go in and when you zoom in on this, you can see where you get the most bang for your buck if you want the. So you could just replace a few lines and really take care of a lot of that.
So do you do that, Brent and Johnny? Is that something that you put into capital planning that you say, okay,
it's our sewer maintenance.
Yeah, we've got maintenance and we've got set aside for things like this, or is it something that as Jared builds the budget for next year, do we build those things in, and to what degree do you say, okay, we're going to take 25% of this, we're going to try to, these are the maybe the worst areas, and try to build that in? Is that a budget thing that we do, or is it just
we've increased the amount on sewer maintenance
okay.
for this reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have the ability then just in that fund to kind of move things around. But what this does is allow us to make those data-driven decisions.
That's awesome.
We didn't have that before, and this was a good reminder, hey, let's take a look at this. And you can see it's in the over part. You can see where the clay is, and as a problem with the entire town, it's not. It goes back to the, late 70s, right before PVC came out. So the town was much smaller, and again, we can look at these and determine real easily that you can just see the clumping there. You know where you need to go as far as subdivision.
So,
you hit me. I know I hit you.
So going back even to the comment that was made earlier about the water towers and the tornado and the fact that you kind of look at those sort of like that, but also I'm thinking in terms of that path, trees that got knocked down. I mean, obviously, in some cases, you could have trees down, you have lines uprooted. And so, we could have a lot bigger problems, I think, as has been identified. So, is there something for you? Do you need anything else from us? Y'all need anything from us as far as, obviously, we're trying to take care of an issue, a specific issue. And I know we're setting precedents. But if it was 10 people, we still need to do the right thing.
We just wanted to show that.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. Okay, we had a problem. Now we can do that. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. Okay.
And we're in the process of trying. We were in the process of doing pulling our guys off, and we was doing smoke testing. So in any area that we went out and we created a map after the tornado that we had sewer lines that were 5 foot and less. We went down and every one of them that we looked down that was in a back easement that had trees down, then we marked that on a map, and then we brought it in and we created a map that we would go out and smoke test all those. Well, you can only smoke test during dry weather. Mm-hmm. Well, we got started on it. We found some things through that smoke testing. We found smoke coming into a storm drain inlet, so the pipe was busted and going over there. And we found other things through there, but then it started raining again. And so we had to stop doing the smoke testing, and then it turned cold. And so as soon as we can, we'll get guys back out in that area. We got our map all ready for the smoke testing. We know where the smoke test is actually up here. We got our smoke testing status down here, So if I clicked on it, it's areas that the ones we've already smoke test and what still needs to be smoke test that we need to get out and get done. So we're working on that portion of it. What we're going to do here too is maybe in the next couple of years, we won't do as much pipelining and manhole work. We're going to do more pipe bursting because we can get more linear feet and more line of this clay line, 6-inch clay line, replaced by pipe bursting. And because it's all 6-inch, we don't want to line 6-inch clay. We'd rather pipe burst all of the 6-inch. So that's our goal there. Is next year we're going to focus. We've already got this budget year out, the following, getting it ready. But the next one, I think we'll focus more on pipe bursting and keep it in these areas right over here, in those areas that we need to focus on.
You were correct. Yeah. We probably will be back. One of the things we wanted to do on this, the very first thing we can do and the easiest thing we can do is put the pop-offs on these cleanouts, if they have one. So we're going to go through all those and check it. What we might run into with Mr. Frazier is that's on private property. So we may have to put together something to come back and ask permission to spend some funds on private property, which we feel would be very beneficial to them. It's the cheapest, quickest way to mitigate the risk. So we can go and visually see all of these, find out which ones have an actual cleanout already installed. And if they've ever had problems, they probably have one installed since. But wherever there is one, we can just simply trade that off with the pop-off. Mitigated $80,000.
Well, it's for us, mitigation of risk, but it's also the potential, think of the nuisance of a home, what these people have gone through. I mean, hey, that's a pretty good trade off. Yeah, so.
Did we have to remediate any of the other homes?
No. Okay. No, there's the only one.
Okay.
Well, I know, Travis, you're good with all the everything we're talking about with the, obviously we made the motion second, but sorry, this is good work. I mean, it's proactively trying to manage rather than reactive. I know we're while we're kind of wandering a little bit, I've got a question. It's back. Is there, are there any issues afterward at the Mercy Hospital? And the reason I'm asking this, I'm kind of moving to a little bit different, because I was with someone who was telling me that there were some issues inside the Mercy Clinic, sewer issues. Do we have any issues? Is there any issue out there that they were having some sewer issues within the hospital?
Talking about the main hospital?
Yeah, the main hospital and the physician's plaza and stuff like that. And they just said something about that they were having some issues. And I don't know if it was, I listened intently, kind of, okay, and I didn't know if it was within the, inside the hospital having issues, that they're having issues getting to us, or was there anything?
We've discussed some sewer main issues that we have behind the hospital in the valley behind Chuck E. Cheese and all that stuff.
Yeah, but it's not, it wouldn't,
they're on brand new PVC and it had to be on.
If there is an issue on one of the floors within the hospital, that is a hospital issue. Yeah. It has nothing to do. Well, that's that. I just kind of listened and think, well, I knew that it didn't sound. So I thought, well, that would be, I'd ask the people to know. So, okay. What are we doing up here in front of Las Palmas? Is that us on that street, Poplar? Is that, I know they had closed.
That's part of the whole street reconstruction project.
I said, Las Palmas, I mean, it was this way for the longest time, and now it's like, you know.
They did it.
Okay.
It's the whole deal.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, John, that's good work. You always do. I think you'll do fantastic work, and thank you for sharing that with us. I know we went a little bit over. Paige, again, had the school board meeting she had to get to. And Kathy, hopefully she's okay. Do we have any other items, Travis?
I have a quick question. Next month, we have another federal holiday on that Monday. So are we meeting on the Tuesday then?
Or do we just bump in a week? What do you all... Is there a precedence?
What do we have? A calendar that we're meeting on the Tuesday, is that not right?
Yes.
Okay. Just bump it to a week.
Kathy said she's on.
Okay.
I was checking.
Well, again, I hope it's contagious because we're all within range.
She said it's not
contagious.
It didn't sound it.
Well, bless her. I'll anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. We are adjourned. Thank you all for your good work.